time to time, we have some of our preachers here in the church share with us. And this morning, I asked Brother Chick if he would share this morning, and he always has a good word. I always hear good reports, whether it's Pierre or Chick. When I come back and they've filled in and they've preached, everyone says how good it was. And I know again today we're going to have a good word from the Lord. And so, Brother Chick, come and share with us today and from God's word. Amen.
Good morning. And thank you, Pastor. And, sometimes you never know what the New England weather is going to bring. I mean, when I heard it the other day, I thought, wow, we're going to have a foot of snow. And we're far from that. But praise the Lord, it's good to be with you today and share some things with you. And as I was listening to some of the songs and singing along and then saw the video, I showed my wife the title of my message, so to speak, and it's Bringing Good Out of Bad. And that's the thought I want to share with you today, is how God can bring something wonderful out of something that seems so devastating and so difficult. And Brother Saeed, we're seeing that unfold before us. And we've seen it unfolded in many other lives too, but that's the thought for today. That's what I want to share with you today. And I know that you've been asked or maybe even wondered yourself about why God allows such evil things to take place in our world. I mean, if he is God and above all things, why does he allow it to take place? Or even, it seems like in these latter days, even increase. And it seems like it has, doesn't it? I mean, it's all around us. And it's difficult sometimes to explain the whys and the how comes, but in and through it all, God has a plan and an answer. And I believe that. It's far, far above anything that I can ever comprehend or understand. But I trust him. I put my faith and my trust in my God. And even though it seems like it's all falling apart, I know that God holds all things together. He's the answer, and he always will be the answer. And the beauty of it, if I can phrase it that way, is that God uses believers to bring the message of hope, joy, and peace. In this crazy, mixed-up world, you and I are the vessels by which God can touch people's lives when they are really hurting, when they're in bad situations. And it seems to me like, and I know it's probably true, that when folks get in tough situations, there's this drawing to God. There's this heartfelt, I need something, I need someone. And you and I are that message for God. Romans 9 in verse 22 through 24, and I'm going to read from the Life Application on that scripture, because I just like the way it read. Normally I'm a New American Standard, but I just enjoyed the way it spoke to me. Romans 9, 22 through 24. It says, "Does not God have a perfect right to show his fury and power against those who are fit only for destruction? Those he has been patient with for all of this time. And he has a right to take others such as ourselves who have been made for pouring the riches of his glory into and to be kind to us so that everyone can see how very great his glory is." Now that's an amazing verse. I mean, all the scripture is amazing, but every now and then you read one that really just hits home to you, that just kind of speaks volumes to your heart and your spirit. And to me, when I read that, especially when I read it in the Life Application, it just really spoke to me that he is kind to us so that everyone can see how very great his glory is. Now, that doesn't mean things will be perfect. I mean, we all know that's not going to be the case. I wish it was. I wish I had no worries, no concerns. I wish I had more money than not enough money. You know, I'd give that a try once. You know, let me try that just for a little while. See how that is. I don't know how that is. It seems a little short most of the time. But always provision made. Always things met. Always. And God is just so faithful that way. So bringing good out of bad. And the first point of this I'd like to just share with you is this. What God allows is for faith building. And I thought a little bit more about that too. But, you know, faith building can be a little bit on the painful side sometimes. It can be moments when our faith is tested that we wish we were avoiding that situation or that pain or that discomfort. In the case of the man Job, Satan sought Job's ruin and loss of faith. Even the advice of his friends and the voice of his disheartened wife, I am sure, weighed heavy on his heart and mind. And I've often wondered sometimes, too, if I might just put this, I've often wondered how his wife felt. We hear when we read the scripture that she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And that's what we know basically about her. But I wonder how she felt losing her children, losing her home, losing all that she enjoyed and loved. I've often wondered. So I don't put a whole lot of blame on her for her statement. I read the scriptures and I know it's true. But I just sometimes wonder how she felt and if her faith was being built later on also. It's kind of something I've always thought about. What the enemy devised to destroy Job, God intended for refining and building of his faith. Don't you wish that we could just have faith without all the situations? Don't you wish we could just have abundant faith and great faith without going through the trials and the tribulations and the circumstances and the things that weigh heavy on your heart emotionally and physically? Don't you wish you could just, hey, I could walk around and be so faithful and so full of joy all the time? But honestly, there are moments when there's tears in your heart, when there's burdens that are heavy. If you raise children, you understand that to be true. If you go through life as a, you know, you just can't avoid the situations. You experience them. And then through them, God allows those situations for the building up of our faith. At a great cost, yes, but according to the scriptures also. The Lord blessed, this is great at the end of Job's life, isn't it? And you know what happened. He was tested, he was tried, he lost this, he lost that. He endured all of what the enemy threw at him. But he stayed true, didn't he? He stayed true to his God. I've been a Christian since I've been 24, so it's a few years ago. Yeah, I can hardly count back that far now. But I've been a Christian longer than the years I was not a Christian. So praise God for that. But I've seen over the years that some in the faith, when they encounter certain situations and problems, they seem to give up on God. And they try to devise their own plan. Well, you know how that's going to work out, right? It's going to get worse. Job stayed true to God, and I believe in his heart he needed God, and he knew that he needed God in the situation that he was in. And the scriptures says the Lord blessed the latter days of Job's life more than his beginning. I've thought of that too. You know, how do you replace the children you lost? How does that happen? I don't understand. I haven't experienced it. I never want to experience that. But in God's wisdom and God's grace and the sovereignty of our great God, He caused Job's latter days to be greater than they were before. I trust God for that. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen." We sang a little bit about it today, about having that faith. You don't see it, but you have this assurance of things hoped for. And in your heart, you have this conviction of things not yet seen. It's what drives us as Christians. It's what gets us up out of the pews and into action. It's what moves us. I've never been good at being idle. Now, I don't know if I have any kind of, they say my grandson takes after me a little bit because he's never stopped. He goes. Now, I'm not quite like that. I've gotten a little older, so I've slowed down. But being idle is, it doesn't work well for me. I have to be doing something. Now, my wife has reminded me that I'm over 60 now. And I usually say to her, "What does that have to do with anything? I still have the energy. I still want to." But then at 9:30 at night when I'm falling asleep on the chair, she says, "See?" But we need that faith that assures us that the things hoped for and the conviction in our hearts that God is able to do more than I think or ask. If I put my life out there. You know, that's what we need to do as believers, I think, is throw our Christian life, throw it away, give it away, toss it out there, let people see it. Doris has reminded me again and again the opportunities I've had in the position of work that I'm in to share the gospel with individuals. And it's been quite amazing, really. Johnny Erickson Tata put it this way. God permits what he hates to achieve what he loves. And I thought, you know, here's a young lady paralyzed from the neck down at an early age, and yet her light still shines. No woe is me, you know, and I'm sure she has difficult days, and I've heard some testimonies in the past with battling cancer. In her testimony again that God is still able and she trusts her God. The building of our faith will challenge and test us to the core. Now, if you don't want your faith built, then, you know, you can sit on the sidelines. It's never been a good place. I love being in the game. And I love this Christian life. Now, Romans 8:28, a familiar verse for everybody, and it says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." It doesn't say that each thing by itself is good, but it says that all things, when it's put together for the good under God's sovereign will, something good transpires, comes forth. Now, in the making of a cake, I could never make a cake, okay? Mike McDuff and some of the, you're good at making those types of things, the cakes. And there are ingredients that are put in that cake that by themselves, I'm sure, does not taste very good. I'm not even sure all what goes in there, baking soda or baking powder and all that, and the raw eggs and all that. All that stuff, am I not making the cake right, Doris? No? I don't know what goes in it. But I know the ingredients in it by themselves. If you took one and you tried it, you wouldn't like it. Now, I'm very good at eating cake. I'm just not very good at making a cake. But God takes it all. He mixes it together for the good, and he brings about something wonderful. We're hearing the testimony of Brother Saeed, and I can't wait, and I'm trusting and believing God for the time when he's not in prison anymore. And we can hear the great testimony of what God's doing in his life. And some of you have great testimonies. The good that Paul is talking about is the final completed good work which we do not see, but God does. And I get a little antsy once in a while, and I get a little, you know, anxious, and I'll say, God, what's going on here? Well, why is this? Well, God's mixing it all together to bring about something really good, and I trust him for that. Faith building may have some ingredients in it that you and I do not like, or it causes pain and discomfort. But when God's done, when it's the finished product, it will bring glory and honor to his name. But we have to remain faithful to him and faithful in it. C.S. Lewis said this one time when his wife was going through some surgery. And, you know, C.S. Lewis, a great man of God and author and writer and pastor and preacher. And he says, we are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. You know, I've never been in tough situations like that. I think I have sometimes, but then I realize when I see Brother Saeed and I see others and I read about this and I read about, you know, mine is nothing. But we all have something, don't we? We all have those trials that come against us, the situations that arise, the separations, the pain, the financial loss, all of those things that come about. We all experience those in some way. Everything that comes into our lives is Father filtered. It's filtered through God. If it comes our way, he has allowed it to happen. Doesn't make sense sometimes, does it, to those who don't know Christ? Why? Why? How come? Why would God do that? God has a sovereign plan. That's what you and I rest on. We rest on that truth that God's way is perfect and the end result will be beautiful and wonderful and bring glory to his name. Secondly, God wants witnesses. That's who you and I are. Acts 1 and verse 8. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with, I love this little phrase, great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout all Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I've never been to Jerusalem. I've never been to Judea. I've never been to Samaria. But we all go places, don't we? We all go somewhere, and God wants to use us in that area that he takes us, that place, that workforce, the school, wherever it might be. God wants to use us as witnesses. Our witness is given through the testimony of our words. Yes, we proclaim it, we share it, we give testimonies, and that's all good. But I think even more so is our witness is living it out. Is living it. He's pleased with our proclamations of praise and how we sing and give glory to his name. But I think he's also very pleased when our witness and our testimony is true in those areas of difficulties. Peace and prosperity are great, but I don't know if they've ever really provided the classroom of faith in spiritual growth, like maybe going through a trial or a situation. That's where the classroom is. We can all shout when things are going great, but when we're in the situation, and people look at us to see how we respond when it befalls on us. And you never know where you're going to be used as a witness. And I think I've shared this once before. And like I said, Doris has told me time and time again, I have more opportunity to pray with people and share the gospel with people in the position that I'm in now than I ever have before. I meet different people. I meet the same people time and again, but it's there for me. When I was working a few years ago, my boss called me, and I was working at another location, another company, and he called me on the radio, and I think I told some of you this, but it's worth telling again, I think. And he says, "Chick," he said, "we need you to go outside and check on one of the drivers. He seems to be having some trouble." And I said, "Yeah, no problem. I'll do that." I said, "What's going on?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "But he seems like he's in distress." So I said, "Yeah, no problem. I'll do that." So I went downstairs, went outside, and he was very much in distress. He was smacking the hood of his truck. He was kicking his tires. He was punching his door. And all the time he's crying and screaming. And I thought, wow, what has happened to cause this guy to be like? And I wasn't fearful of, you know, anything physical for me. I was more concerned about what he was going through, because he was quite aggressive and violent there. And I said, "My friend," and I called him by his name, and I said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And he's swearing a little bit, and he's kicking the tires, and you know all that. I said, "My friend, tell me how can I help you?" And he told me that. He said, he's crying and you know, tears, and he says, "I just received a phone call that they found my fiance dead in bed." And I said, "Oh my word." And he continues the actions, and I thought, I really didn't know what do you do? You know, you think you know what you're going to do, but when you're up against it, I said, hey, stop for a second. And he falls to the ground. He falls down, and he's by his front tire, and he's just pounding the pavement like that. And I said, "You know, can I pray with you? Let's pray." And I said, "I want to pray with you." And he said, yeah, go ahead. So as I knelt down on the pavement with him, and as I did, I just happened to look at the building, and three or four of the windows, there, people were looking out the window. And I said, "Wow." So I prayed for him, and things went on, and his boss called me and spoke to me and said, "You know, have him take the vehicle to such and such a location." And I said, "You know, the man is in no condition to drive." I said, "You need to come and get the vehicle." And they said, I forget what he said. I said, "No, you need to come and get the vehicle." And it's a major company. So he came and he got the vehicle. And about a month later, maybe longer, he comes into the office and he comes in to see me. And he shook my hand and hugged me. He said, Thank you. You helped save my life." I said, "Listen, I was there with you, but it's God who takes care of you and saves you and helps you and assists you." He says, "Well, it's, you know, I don't know what I would have done if you weren't there." And what I'm trying to say is, you know, anywhere we go, we're going to be a witness. We can be a witness and a testimony. You don't know who you're going to run into. You don't know the situation or the problem that might come about. You know, Matthew 5:14 says that you are the light of the world, a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. We shine in church. I think we need to shine outside the walls too, don't you? to be an example. People are looking for an answer. Pastor has preached on it. They're looking for the answer. We know that Christ Jesus is the answer. We need to provide it to them by our witness and our testimony, by the things we say, by the actions on how we live, how we react to situation. Isaiah 43 and verse 12. God speaking to Israel and wanting them to be witnesses and testimonies and be the examples of who he is. Isaiah 43, 12, it says, he says to them, it is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. And there was no strange God among you. Here's the key part of that verse. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am your God. Do you believe that you can be his hands extended? Do I believe? I want to be. And I need to be ready for the opportunity that God gives me to be that example, wherever it might be. Whether it might be this gentleman that's lost his loved one. You know, I run into that all the time. I'm amazed at what some folks share with me. Because you just don't go up to somebody and tell them that, you know, your five-year-old daughter is gone because your husband beat her to death. How do you pray for a woman like that? That happened to me. And we stopped and prayed right in front of the fish department, wherever it was. God's called us to be witnesses and testimonies, and I just want to be able to express it to those out there that I meet. And God's enabled me to do that. Fanny Crosby, many of you know, songwriter, hymn writer, many, many hymns, hundreds of hymns, near 1,000, I believe, with her spiritual poems and all of her hymns. And we sing a lot of them in the church, you know, Blessed Assurance. He hideth my soul and draw me nearer. Different great hymns of the church that speak to us. And you know the story of Fanny Crosby, who at 6 weeks old, they found out she was blind. And they don't. Now, there is some that say it was some treatment that was given to her that caused her to be blind. But, you know, in 1820... It's probably hard to tell exactly what was wrong with a six-week-old. But nevertheless, she was blind from 6 weeks. And I love the words she says concerning her situation. She said these words, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. I thank him for the dispensation, and I verily believe it was his intention that I should live my days in physical darkness so as to be better prepared to sing his praises and incite others to do so." It's amazing, isn't it? A heart for God, a witness for God. Who would have thought? And yet we sing our songs in the church. When we sing them, we feel that beauty and the greatness of God as we sing hymns. You know, I like to work out a little bit, so I go down to the fitness place down here, and you know, it's a lot easier to work out when I'm listening to something. So I've got that little what's that called, Doris? What is it? That little tumbler thing there. You know, it's that little small thing I put thousands. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to get on the site to download songs. You know, and then once I get on the site, then I got to figure out how to download it onto this thing. So finally, after a while, I make my way through it. But I told Doris the other day, I said, you know, I plugged that in and I was listening to worship songs, and I said, you know, I was like, I was going so fast on the elliptical. I said, I thought I was going to die. You know, you get going, don't you? I mean, let's be real. Sometimes I might not seem to be the most excitable guy, but really, I get really excited. I really do. I get excited when the Red Sox win. I really get excited when the Patriots beat the Steelers. I just love them. But I get excited when I worship the Lord. And I told Doris, I said, the workout went by like this. And I was just having a good time. And, you know, I always like to work the elliptical where my distance is greater than my calories burned. Because I have to really work out. You know, I get going. I've gone before and I plugged it in and watched the news, and that'll slow you right down to nothing. But when you listen to some of those worship songs, you get a little excited, don't you? I do. Because I remember when I came to this church as a young man, lost, doing all the other stupid stuff. And I came here and I saw people singing and worshiping. I said, this is pretty cool. Then I found out why they were worshiping so. Because their God is a great God. And he's greatly to be praised. Is he not? Yes, he is. You know, and it's amazing what God will do with you. You know, in the service today and for the past year or so, you know, I got Brother Don Lux sitting right here, and he was one of the families of the founding families over in Raymond that this church mothered, New Life Assembly over there in Nottingham. We held Bible studies at his home on Tuesday night, we held Tuesday and Thursday, one night at his house and one night at Ron and Millie's home, and how that all came about, and God just did marvelous great things because there was some excitement and there was a witness and there was a testimony. Were there obstacles? Oh yeah, there were obstacles. It was a little difficult winning the favor of the town fathers there for a while, but once they saw we were real and we were staying put, so to speak, things changed, and God blessed, and we did some good things in the community. We are his witnesses wherever he has us. So faith building, being witnesses, and also thirdly and lastly, to remember our refuge. And I think that's really important for us, is to remember who to run to. You know, it's good to have friends, and it's good to have those that are blessed with counseling abilities and are out for your best, and it's good to have all of that. And it's good to have people praying for you. That's essential. But it's also good for us to remember who our refuge is, who I run to. I have some friends in a neighboring town that I grew up with. We were rather rebellious, grew up in an ungodly environment, but the family, the mother and dad, just kind of took my brother and I in, so to speak, as we were friends with the boys and with their daughter, and we hung out there a lot, and that they saw us through so many years. And then, you know, I became a Christian. I found Jesus, and I became a Christian, and I grew in faith, and I left the old things. You know, I didn't go back to those things. I left those. There was temptation once in a while, but I remember a couple of years ago when I stopped to visit them, and at the time, Dixie was there. He was alive, but I met with Rita, and she was chatting with some individuals that came to visit. And she said, she introduced me. She said, "This is one of our boys that turned out good." And I thought, wow, thank you, Jesus. Because the only reason we're good is because of Christ. That's it. And I'm glad it blessed her life. I really am. Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. And the word refuge in that Hebrew setting means a quiet place to go for rest. Isn't that nice? That when we're under it, when we're underneath of it all, when things are happening and we don't quite get it or understand it, we have a place to go for rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God that He is our refuge. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And Psalms 18 and verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." When we do turn to Him, remember, He is very present, ready to assist. Moses was told in Exodus 33, verse 14, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And the next verse, I don't know if it's the next verse or the verse after, you have to kind of smile at some of the, and relate to some of the, what the saints of the Bible had to say to God. And Moses basically says, I don't know exactly, I'm going to paraphrase it, okay? He basically says, "Well, if your presence isn't with us, I don't want to go." Moses understood that God's presence will go with him, but if it doesn't go with him, I'm not going anywhere. Because I don't want to confront it or go at it without the presence of God. He is awesome, He is available, and He's ageless. He's everlasting, He's forever, He's eternal. And He's there for you and I. God takes and makes good out of that which might be bad. He builds our faith. He enables us to be witnesses and testimonies. But He wants us to remember that He is our refuge, our strength, our very present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? And Pastor's going to come here in just a bit and share communion with us and maybe share some thoughts, but you know, we might not always see the big picture, and we don't because we could never handle the big picture. But we serve a God, our refuge, who sees the whole thing from beginning to end. He is the answer, He knows the answers, and He gives us the answers. He wants us to develop and grow in faith, and He takes us through things that causes that growth to come if we hang with God, if we stay put in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, He'll use us to be an example or a witness to those around us that need Christ. And He tells us, "Whenever you need me, I am here. I am there for you. I am your refuge. I'm available, I'm ageless, I'm there." So maybe, you know, you might be facing something that's a little difficult. As a young person, maybe as an adult, with situations that have arisen, our God is able and willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we think or ask, according to the power or the ability that resides within us. He's a great God. He makes and he causes good to come out of that which wasn't so good or might be different. He blesses and touches and makes things well. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for all of your goodness and your love towards us. We're thankful, God, that you're able to do things with us and in us and through us that will bring glory and honor to your name. And may we remain faithful in the things of God. May we grow in faith. May we be that witness and that testimony that you desire us to be. And may we always, always run to you to go to our refuge, go to our place of rest and find rest even through those situations. We love you, we praise you, and I pray, God, your blessing upon your church. And we look forward to what you're going to do with us. We trust and believe in thee. We thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor.